In the name of Jesus, amen. The word of God this morning is the lesson from 1 Corinthians 4, which you just heard. As we hear Paul on one of those rare occasions being forced to talk about his own ministry of the gospel and the hardship that he faced, I'm reminded of what I just read recently, and I believe it came from our own historical department. They said that a minister is the lowest paid of all professional positions. And they also told us that most people think that a plumber should be paid more than a pastor. Were they trying to tell me something? It used to be that even when I started in the parish some 20 years ago, that there were a whole host of clergy discounts. Now, pastors are known to have the lowest of credit ratings, and often rightfully so. But of course, Paul in this lesson is talking about stuff that's much more serious than that. He is talking about being reviled and persecuted and slandered for the gospel. He's talking about suffering a lack of food and clothing and virtually everything. He's talking about being considered the lowest of the low and being slapped around by the world because of it. He talks about being considered like the stuff that you might scrape out of the bottom of the pot once the meal is finished. Why, people might even think that they would be doing a service to God if they could do away with the Apostle Paul. They might consider their task successful waste management because the world could do much better without him. Paul sums up his whole predicament as a leader of God's people by saying he was like a man sentenced to die, and his death was being turned into a public spectacle. One thinks at this point about the Roman government. That's how they operated, isn't it? They would execute people right and left, and they would do it in places like amphitheaters, where everybody could see. Why, they would do things like crucify people right on public highways for everybody to pass by and see. I guess that's it, isn't it? Paul was crucified with Christ. In his own ministry, he was living proof that there is no crown without first the cross. And as a leader of God's people, he walked the way of the crucified one he represented. And he led the way with his people in walking the way of the cross. He led the way. Right down to the very moment that he's writing this, he talks about the hardships that he faced. And then he says that he was continually decreasing, even down to his dying breath. And meanwhile, Christ was increasing in the hearts of those under his care as they looked to the rich wounds of Christ and looked at his death, the death that atoned for the sins of the whole world. Now, for Paul to be able to endure all this for the sake of the gospel was clearly no human achievement on his part. It all happened by faith. In other words, when Paul counted himself as nothing in the eyes of the people, no play acting was necessary. He was not engaging in some kind of a psychological warfare with the people at Corinth. In the confession of his sin, he knew that he really was nothing. And for that matter, neither was Apollos anything, because Apollos confessed his own sins. Nor did the Apostle Paul have a martyr complex, or was he trying to be a glutton for punishment. He himself was nothing more than a glutton for the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Or as he said, he lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved him and gave himself up for him. And oh, how that grace availed for those people at Corinth too. Paul didn't see any need for the clique of Paul as opposed to the clique of Apollos. All together, they belonged to Christ as they suffered with him in order that they might be glorified with him. Those who aspire to the pastoral office need have no delusions of earthly grandeur, nor do they want anything of the kind. Now, Paul talks about all this stuff about himself and all his hardships, and even goes so far as to say, be imitators of me. Because, you see, the people at Corinth were the type who wanted all the grandeur. They were bypassing the cross as they grabbed for the crown. Jesus had said, blessed are the poor. And Paul says of Corinth, already you are rich. Christ said, blessed are those who are persecuted on my account. And Paul says, already you people have become kings. One way of looking at it was the people of Corinth had walked through the portal of the gospel and had gone on to bigger and better things, since now they were super spiritual big shots. They advanced to the stage where they could give testimonies, where they could publicly witness to the fact that they no longer needed the grace of God. To these people, Paul came, as he says in this chapter, with nothing other than one thing, the Word of God. And to a people who had advanced beyond the gospel, he told them, if you don't remain under the shadow of that gospel portal, then truly all is lost. And to those who pitted the power of one man against the power of another, Paul would say, remember that before the face of God, we are all small potatoes, and that the grace of God is the only thing going for any one of us. Similarly, pastors today need to continually bring the people in Christ's church back to the cross. In the midst of conventions and caucuses and handbook interpretations and rank of positions and politicking and apple polishing, a pastor may face the music by having to say to his people, you're all taking yourselves far too seriously. How about coming back from somewhere beyond the gospel back to the shadow of the cross? Instead of thinking only about yourself, you small potatoes, how about things like the small catechism? Remember those things that you learned as a little child when you were once a child by faith. I can only hope that as you leave this place and enter the parish that, like Paul, you're far too busy to merely be defending your own position as a pastor because you're far too busy being a pastor. Even if you have to be put on the shelf, as it were, because of it. Remember, it's only to the world that you're being put on the shelf. In the eyes of the chief shepherd himself, you are at the very center of the action. The pastor decreases before the people, and Christ increases. I think our Lutheran confession said it right. In defining the office of the ministry, the confessions define it, the ministry, as the Word and the sacraments. Hardly ever do they say the one who administers the Word and the sacraments. There are many televangelists today and many Christian celebrities who announce and who publicize their arrival in the world, unless, of course, they're in jail. and they get so big in the eyes of the world that they clearly stand in the way, and no one can see Jesus Christ anymore. But a pastor, in spite of his maturity, in spite of his personnel skills, in spite of his administrative abilities, and all the other excess baggage that he brings to the seminary, which, mind you, does not necessarily coincide with the gifts of being a pastor. In spite of all those things he shows to the world as a pastor, only one public spectacle. It's the same as the Apostle Paul's. He shows himself as a man who is sentenced to die, a man who is crucified with Christ. A pastor is continually getting out of the way so that Christ can shine through. In fact, the ministry might be defined as letting Christ speak and act in his church with as little human interference as possible. This is what is the beauty of our historic liturgy. It is the means of grace at work in God's church with as little human interruption and interference as possible. And finally, Paul says that he endures all these things for the sake of the gospel, so that he could be a father to those people at Corinth. I often found in the parish that when a Roman Catholic went through adult instruction, that every once in a while they'd make a mistake and they'd refer to me as father. I didn't correct them. I kind of liked it. It reminds me of how a pastor gives of himself so that Christ is glorified. It reminds me of how a pastor is even willing to go to the cross for these dear children in the faith. And then together, both pastor and people can say, O cross, our one reliance, hail, so may thy power to us avail. Amen.